Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Powerful words for the time period that we live in. Very difficult to find that quietness, though, and that stillness. Want to come back to that in a minute. Want to read to you from Matthew chapter 24. That chapter, many of you may recognize. Matthew 24, I have often said, is kind of an outline of the book of Revelation. It says in Matthew 24, and if you want to turn to that and follow in the reading, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, this is all in red for, other than a few sentences inserted, it's the words of Jesus talking to his disciples about the end times. In fact, in the 84 version of the NIV that I often read from, which is my preference for a modern English type Bible, signs of the end of the age. Matthew 24, verse 1 says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all of these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And incidentally, that was a short-term prophecy. That's not the subject. But that was a short-term prophecy Jesus gave that was fulfilled in AD 70. Just a few short years after Jesus made that statement, Titus the Roman general came in and there was the burning of Jerusalem and the actual burning of the temple. And we're told by historians that they even pried apart the bricks and stones to get the precious gold that had melted in between them. Interesting that Jesus said, when they were admiring the buildings, Jesus said, do you see these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Verse 3, and as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. And that's a very accurate translation in saying all these are the beginning of birth pains. In the Old English, it says sorrows, but it means the sorrows of birth pains. A lot can be said. I'm an avid news watcher, drives my wife crazy. The way I follow news, I'm interested in what's going on around the world as it relates to what we see happening and what Scripture has predicted. And I believe with all of my heart and say with boldness and authority that I believe we live in the season of the return of Christ in the tribulation hour. No man knows the day or the hour. Beware of people who give specific times for things. But he did say we would know the season. In fact, he even spoke out in a rebuke and said in a form, said, you can read the sky. Why can't you read the signs of the times? And so we're not to be ignorant of what's going on around our world. And we see so many things happening. Matthew 24, I read 1 through 8, and we're seeing the birth pains. And it is the bringing forth of Jesus, as Jesus is going to come back. And we know there's two phases to the second coming. There's the rapture of the church, which I personally believe is just before the wrath of God falls on a sinful world that has rejected Christ. The rapture of the church, and there are different feelings as far as the timing of the rapture, and the truth is, no one knows the day or the hour. But there are two phases to the coming of Christ. The rapture of the church, when the church of Jesus Christ goes to meet the Lord in the air. And we read about that in Thessalonians. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. And this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. My, the funerals we've attended recently. Too many trips to the funeral home. But if the person was a Christian, it's words of comfort. You're going to be reunited. And knowing the Lord makes all the difference. My, when we're called upon, if I can just go on an exit ramp here for a second, if when we're called upon to have a funeral for a total stranger, which happens sometimes in the ministry, and someone doesn't have a minister, and we're so sensitive, or maybe the minister that they had is passed on, and the individual's in the nursing home, and this is maybe a poor way to say it, but how easy it is when you go to the house of family and they say, "Oh, here, let me give you her Bible. Let me give you a copy of her testimony. This is easy." Because even though there's short-term separation, there's sorrow when one leaves. If they knew the Lord, it makes all the difference. Comfort one another with these words. We don't sorrow like those who have no hope. Now, as far as the rapture, we know that the Christians are going to be taken out at some point to meet the Lord in the air. And then the second phase of the second coming is when, at the end of the battle of Armageddon, when the nations of the world gather for the final showdown at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus Christ is going to come back on a white horse and bring the saints with him. And I believe we're involved in all that. He's going to come back, it says, with thousands, but the actual Greek word is hundreds and tens of thousands of his saints. He's going to come back on a white horse, and his feet are going to touch the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split. And it's going to be an awesome time, the second coming. Now, he said, you are going to know the season when you're approaching that, with things that are happening around you. You're going to see those things and know that the season is near, the time is near. And so I believe the call for us is preparation. I personally believe that in this season of birth pains, where we're seeing things happen around the world, literally where the world, as the scripture says, is groaning to bring forth that second coming of Jesus in the clouds, and the pains that are going on in humanity and the suffering that's taking place as a result of sin. Don't blame God for the ills of our world. That's a poor theology. And the devil has sold that to millions of people who blame God for the ills of our world. God turned the world over to mankind and did a dangerous thing. I say that reverently. He did a dangerous thing when he gave man a will and the power of choice. And for generations, generations and generations have passed, wrong choices have been made, and we're a long ways from the Garden of Eden and what God intended it to be. And we know that after the second coming, then will be 1,000 years of peace, where God shows us the way that it was supposed to be, when the Garden of Eden is recreated, so to speak. And we see in the 1,000 years of peace how it actually was supposed to be. And the lion will lay down with the lamb, and you can have a pet snake that'll never bite you. And the carnivorous nature will be gone in the animals. And God will show us what he intended for the world to be. But all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And because we've gone astray, he sent the Savior that we sing about, that we praise. He sent the Savior that we can have redemption and we can be ready and prepared for his coming. And if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, I want to invite you that that's appropriate at any time to come to him and open your heart to him. Okay, what I want to zero in on in the few minutes we have this morning is that this is a time of deception, confusion, and chaos. I want you to get that. A lot of things could be said about the season of the return of the Lord, and my mind goes all kinds of directions when I talk about it, because over the years I've studied a lot. But I feel this morning what God would have me share with you is that this is a time we're living in right now of deception, confusion, and chaos. deception, confusion, and chaos. I in no way want to say or project negative things, but at the same time, I want to be into reality. We're going to face some pretty significant frustrations, even in our personal lives as we move along. If you remember a few weeks ago, and I believe it was prophetic, God gave me a message where I said that there was going to be some things come along, and I believe it was in May. God, there are going to be some things come along that are going to throw you personally. I don't know if you remember that message. But I said, I believe there'll be some things that'll come along that'll throw us somewhat as a congregation. There'll be some individual things in each of our lives that will tend to throw us. And I felt God gave me that strongly that Sunday. And I know that we personally, my wife and I, have experienced some of that in the last few weeks. And many of you have too. But I think as we move into the future, that God would have us to know that we are entering a time of deception and confusion and chaos as the enemy gains more and more ground. In the book of Daniel, it says he knows he has a little time, so he's on a rampage. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, it says that they will have strong delusion. Strong delusion. And I want to read the definition of that. There'll be strong delusion, a fixed false belief. A fixed false belief that is resistant to reason or confrontation with actual fact. Boy, did that resonate with me when I read that. That definition of the word delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, that they'll have strong, that's the way their thinking's going to go. There'll be confusion. We read, what's the first thing Jesus said here in Matthew 24 when they said, what shall be the signs of thy coming in the end of the age? The first thing he said is, take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come and say, I am Christ. Jesus in John chapter 14 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Many will come and say, here is the way. No, here is the way. No, over here is the way to real life. And I want to warn you to beware. And two, I want to say this very, very kindly and cautiously. Be careful who you feed off of. Be sure it's consistent with Scripture. There's lots of popular doctrines circulating out there on our airwaves that sound good, and people get a buzz from it, and in a discouraging world, it's a shot in the arm. But beware and be careful and sort through that and compare it to God's Word and beware of who you feed off of. I need to say that to you this morning. There'll be strong delusion. I want to read that again, a fixed false belief that's resistant to reason or confrontation without actual fact, with actual fact. In other words, there'll be thinking that develops that is deceptive. In fact, in another location in the Scripture, I believe it's in 2 Timothy, it says there'll be doctrines of devils, beliefs that they're resistant to confrontation. When you go and say, no, this isn't right. Oh, yes, it is. What are you thinking? It absolutely is. It feels right to me. I know I have my own judge of what's right and wrong. And people begin to, rather than lining up their ideas and feelings and living codes to God's Word, rather are making their own. And there'll be a time of deception and confusion and chaos. Now, it also says in Psalms 11:3 that if the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? We live in a time when the foundational things are being destroyed. Basic things that God instituted, marriage in the Garden of Eden, the awesome story that illustrates to us the relationship of a man and a woman, Ish and Isha. In the Hebrew of the Old Testament, Ish and Isha, an awesome story. Man walked with God. Adam walked with God. He had a relationship with God, but God said an interesting thing. He said it's not good for man to be alone. God, the Creator, recognized that even though Adam and he walked in the cool of the day, he needed someone he could touch, he could hold. And God did an amazing thing as a deep sleep came over Adam and he took a rib from him and made woman. Ish and Isha. And God instituted the family. And those two together illustrate The traits of both together illustrate the leadership, the priesthood, I believe, comes through the Father and the husband. The unconditional love and the mercy and the ability to comfort, I believe, is illustrated so strongly through the mother. And God made a beautiful relationship that we've strayed so far from. In Psalms, David said, when the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? And then God began to teach the balance of love and discipline, another foundational issue. God began to teach the balance of love and discipline. In our world, the foundations are being destroyed. Discipline is a valuable thing. Self-discipline. How does a child learn to be self-disciplined? How does a child learn to when they turn 18, get up and shut off the alarm and get ready for work and go to work and be disciplined and hold a job and punch a clock and work? How do they know to do that? By being taught discipline as a child. We're destroying foundational things. And we're ending up with chaos and confusion. And then the strong delusion will come, a fixed or false belief that's resistant to reason. I sit down and try to reason with people about some of these issues and say, what are you thinking? And they're like, what? This is perfectly fine. And you're like, how could you be looking at it that way? How could you be looking at it that way? How could you be looking at this so upside down, but it makes sense to you? Scripture predicted that in the season of the last days, it would be deception, chaos, confusion, mystery Babylon. Babylon means confusion. The one world religion, I believe, that it speaks of in Revelation, mystery Babylon. I've shared that several times in the last couple of months. Mystery Babylon was written on the prostitute's forehead, and it represented the religions of the world, I believe, and the one world religion that all will succumb to, except the remnant. I'll get to that. But isn't it interesting that the one world religion is illustrated as a prostitute that has mystery Babylon written on her forehead, confusion. She sleeps with everybody. You can do anything. You can write all your own rules. Everybody can have their own set, and it's okay. The contrast of that is God calling his bride the bride of Christ. And when the trumpet sounds and the church is called, God is calling out a remnant. And I believe that this church, CMO, here along the highway, has significance in our community. We're a small pond. We're nobody famous. But I believe we have significance in this area of illustrating what the remnant is about. The balance of the love of Christ in reaching the lost, but yet the purity of the gospel. Hard to walk that line. You with me? There are those who are all about the love of Christ, and they throw everything out the window, and all the foundational stuff's thrown out, and they accept anything, and they become the great prostitute in Revelation. That's improper. That's not a true gospel. But then there are those who resort to legalism and think they're saved by do's and don'ts and long lists of rules, and they don't have the love of Christ. That's the other extreme. And that's just as bad. Yeah, I said that. That's just as bad. And it's full of spiritual pride. But there is that place where God calls out a remnant that understand being saved and understand the mercy and long-suffering of God, and their heart cries and breaks for those that are hurting, and they'll go to any extent to reach, and anyone is welcome. But yet, when that person comes, there's a call to follow Christ and become part of the remnant. There's a call to leave the old life. There's a call to change and become a new creation. Does that make any sense? And that's where the truth is found. And we have to be beacons of truth. So I have a question for you. I said all that to prepare you for something else I want to say. I have a question for you. How do we stay on track? So just how do we do that? If Pastor, this is correct, and it sure seems like you're backing it up pretty good here, and you're making some sense to me, Pastor. If this truly is a time of deception and confusion and chaos, and there'll be strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie, and you can't even reason with them. In fact, in Romans it says he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. You know, people can get so bad in their thinking that God just says, okay, go ahead. We can't do anything with you. Turn over to a reprobate mind. That means a mind void of judgment. We're seeing that in our world, void of judgment. You're like, what in the world are you thinking? Void of judgment. So I ask you, how do we stay on track? So do we listen to that and say, I think that pastor's right, and we go out of here and we're a nervous wreck. Oh mercy. I hope that's not deceptive. Oh, I wonder if I should be listening to that radio station. I wonder if I should be picking up that media. How do I know? It's found in the song that I asked Kevin to sing. And the rest of my time, I want to talk about that. Stay with me. It's found in the song that I asked Kevin to sing. I'm calling you this morning, and I believe it's the Lord. I say humbly, I believe it's the Lord calling you through me and through the service and through the musicians today to come to a place of walking in quietness and stillness with God in the midst of the confusion. You've got to find that place. You're going to get sucked in if you don't. You with me? You're going to get sucked in. I'm telling you, you're going to get sucked in. Me too. A powerful, strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. Their thinking will even change and they won't even know it. You try to confront them with actual fact. They're resistant to reason, and you confront them with actual fact, and no, they won't have it. They know what they're doing. They're blinded. So how do we stay on track? There's two passages of Scripture now for the next brief minutes I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to keep you long today because I felt tired today. Been a full week. A lot going on in our lives, not easy to preach when you're going through personal things. But I felt definitely this morning this is for today. And I want you to turn, if you have a Bible, if not, I'd like you to write it down or have it on your phone app or something because you need this verse. God has been speaking to me about this for 5 years. 5 years. When I went away in 2011 and fasted and prayed about the future of the ministry, God had already given me this verse the year before, but he impressed it upon my heart that year, and it's Isaiah 30:15. And I don't have it on the wall this morning, just didn't want to do that this morning. Don't know why, I just felt I should just talk with you this morning. But we're answering the question, how do you deal with this thing? So do we live scared to death that we're going to be deceived? Do we live in turmoil and fear of am I getting sucked into wrong thinking? And do we live our lives paranoid? I want to talk to you about a simple thing now that you can do. You can do this. There's grace to do the right thing. You can do this. And if you will do this, you will be secure through the storm. I'll say that again. If you will do this, you will be secure through the storm. Isaiah 30:15 says, in returning, and you may have a translation that says in repentance, it's the same thing in this particular passage. Repentance actually means to return to the Father as the prodigal son. Turn around, about face, the other direction, leaving my life of sin. That's the meaning of repentance, so don't let that throw you. Translations say that particular line a different way. In returning or in repentance, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. Oh, I'd like you to, will you write that down, memorize it this week? We don't usually give homework. But write down Isaiah 30:15. Put it on a note card, put it in your pocket, take it to work with you this week. God's been speaking to me from this verse. Stay with me. You need this morning. This is the answer to how do we deal with the pastor. I think you're right. I think it is chaos and deception. And I think there is a lot of that going on. And I see it too. And I'm uneasy about it. And we got, how do we stay on track? It is found, the secret is found in this chapter. And this is the target verse. And I'll give you a few more from it. In returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. And if you got your pen handy, a sister verse to that is Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I'm going to mainly focus now on Isaiah 30:15, but a sister verse is Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Now, let's look at this for a second. In returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. You couples in the family raising years, you got to get this worked out. You got to have time with God. You don't have to do it the way I do. We're in different seasons of life. I've structured my schedule. It's taken several years to get it accomplished, and you have to have a church board that understands it and all that stuff. I've structured my schedule to allow myself a lot of time with God. I have to. You don't have to do it just the way that I do it. If I can, I like to take a 5-mile walk in the morning. This week, going to Oklahoma, my secret closet was the cab of a nice car that I was loaned. And it was a great prayer closet. You can do this. You know what I've been amazed at? I've been amazed. Receive this from me, okay? I'm old enough to be your dad, some of you, so listen. Okay, receive this. I have young couples tell me, well, you don't know how hectic my life is. I can't do this. Yes, you can. Because I see couples that decide they're going to go to nursing school and they figure out a way to do it. They decide they want to go ahead and get another degree. I don't know how they do it, but they figure out a way to do it. And you know what I know about us? We do what we want to do. And if you go before God, some of you, this is harder if you're in the family race. It is. I know it is. We raised 4 boys. I know it's not easy. How do you stay away from the deception that's going to become so prevalent? We're nearing the tribulation hour. You can't see that watching the news. We are nearing the tribulation hour. So what is our shelter? It's found in the song, "Be Still, My Soul." We've got to figure out a way in every day or every couple of days. It doesn't have to be just like I do it. You've got to have some time where you have a sanctuary alone with God, and it's got to fit you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trouble. You've got to work out your own way of doing it. We're not all wired the same, but this is how you'll stay on track. Because when you take your time with God and that becomes a priority to you, He recognizes that. Powerful thing was said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. It says, "The true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him." Do you know that God is actually scanning, looking for people that will do this? He is. And I think it's cool to say, that's why it says many are called and few are chosen. We're all called, but I say, hey, I'm going to do it. And He says, I choose you. And Andre says, I'm going to do it. And He says, Andre, you're in. That's what it means when it says many are called and few are chosen. We're all called, but you got to make the choice to set Him as your priority. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'll add everything to you. Well, pastor, if the tribulation hour comes and all these bad things, seek first the kingdom of God. And I'll add everything to you. This works. I know that it works. I've seen it. The times in my life when I put God the most first, He provided the most things for me. Oh, I could go all kinds of directions here, but I got to stay here. In returning and rest, return to your time with God. Return to the mountain. It's in returning and rest that you'll be saved. That's how you're going to be saved. That's how you're going to stay on track. You don't need to be scared to death. You don't need to be a nervous wreck about this. Discipline yourself. Redo your schedule and take the time to spend with God. And in that time, it'll be transforming. And you'll begin seeing things you didn't see before. You'll begin recognizing pitfalls in your life that you didn't see before. You'll begin seeing things in your marriage you didn't see before. You'll begin recognizing that it isn't all her, part of it's you. You'll begin recognizing that there's some pride that you've never dealt with. You're busy condemning everybody else for their outer sins, but you're not looking at your inner sins. All kinds of things will happen when you look into the mirror of God's word. The devil wants to get you busy, 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 busy with chaos and confusion so that you can just be part of the mess. God is calling me to a new level of this in my own life. As CMO begins to grow, I don't intend to work harder. Surprise anybody? As CMO grows, and it is, and the ministries under us are growing, I don't intend to work harder. I intend to pray harder. God can accomplish more in 4 hours of me ministering than he can 12 hours of me trying to be everywhere. And this chaos, confusing world that we live in, you can get caught in that if you want, but you're going to lose the pearl of great price. Anybody hear me? You're going to lose the pearl of great price. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to lose the pearl of great price. It's the best thing you've ever had or ever will have. I understand as I grow in the Lord why the guy tasted the pearl of great price. He said, man, I'm going to go buy the field. I'm going to go buy the field where I found this. In returning and rest, you got to figure out a way to do it. There's grace to do the right thing. Oh, that may not mean a new car every 3 years. That may mean some change in our budget. What is the pearl of great price? Is it a pearl of great price? Do I want it? How do I stay on track in returning and rest, you will be saved, and quietness and trust will be your strength. All right, now look what it says now. But you would have none of it. So we're not the first generation. Must have been this problem then. You said, no, we'll flee on horses. Oh, we got stuff to do. Off we're going to go. You'd have none of it. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. Ouch. Who's the pursuer? The enemy. Who's the pursuer? The enemy. All right. Now, look at verse 18. Oh, this is awesome. Stay with me. Don't you dare leave me now. Verse 18. The Lord longs. Listen. I just said in John 4, he's seeking true worshipers. Right here it is again. Look for consistency in Scripture. This is clear back in Isaiah. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, and he rises to show you compassion. Oh, my schedule. Pastor, I got so many irons in the fire. He longs to be gracious to you. But you got to take the time to receive it. You got to quiet your heart to receive it. He rises to show you compassion. Wow. So isn't it interesting how the Lord operates? I want to be this way. He kind of, first he says, in returning and rest, you'll be saved. Then he kind of chews them out. And you know, I had an old guy say to me one time, he said, you know, you have to stick in the knife of God's word. Ouch. The knife of truth. Ouch. Ooh. And then he says, then God always follows it up with some salve that's kind of soothing. So you kind of heal back up, but yet you needed that. He just said, no, you won't listen to me. You run off on horses, so your pursuers will be swift. And then he follows it up with, but yet the Lord does long to be gracious to you. He wants to be gracious to you. He wants to do things for you. He wants to work things out in your life. He rises to show you compassion. Then in verse 20, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. Now, I won't stay too long on that, but I can't pass that up. This is all tied together. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, he does? Why? I thought this was all Hershey bars. The Lord gives you the bread of adversity. What? And the water of affliction? They're your teachers. They're your teachers. Your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Not going to stay on this long, but I want you to follow the progression here in this chapter. I've been thinking on this chapter for 5 years. Literally, I'm serious. Okay, how do we stay out of the mess? How do we deal with this? I want to be part of the remnant. I want to be, okay, in returning and rest, you will be saved. in quietness, be still my soul. Be quietness, in quietness and confidence will be your strength. You see, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. We just read it. Now recognize there's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be the water of affliction and the bread of adversity. That's going to happen. Recognize that those are your teachers. Don't get mad at him about it. Recognize that when he puts the knife of his word in, and sometimes there's some adversity and problems in our life, that those are your teachers. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why? I've been walking with the Lord. I've been spending my quiet time with God. Why did this thing happen in my family? Why did this happen? Recognize that the Lord gives the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, and those are your teachers, and they'll be hidden no more. As you spend time with God, listen, as you spend time with God, don't miss this, you will be illuminated, and you'll begin seeing what he's doing, and the whys will start going away. As you spend time with God, how many know that's true? I know that's true. I see hands on that. As you spend time with God, you had this anger and these whys and God, why did God allow this amount? As you return to him and spend time with him, he starts illuminating you and you begin recognizing that those have been your teachers and that some of those things are what brought you around. Never will forget, and I loved it when Vince shared his testimony in front of everyone about going to prison. He said, I walked across the 5-star parking lot and I begged God. I said, God, I can't live like this anymore. Rescue me. And he said, God, use the Department of Corrections to do it. I looked over at Lonnie Slusher and he kind of smiled. Isn't that cool? He said, but you have to be wise enough to recognize that. There wasn't too many people who could have made that statement. Yeah, I pray that God will rescue me and here comes the cops. No. He begins spending his quiet time with God and he recognized that God answered in his case through the Department of Corrections and he was so deep into meth that he needed to be dried out for 6 years and get his brains back. He couldn't even walk and keep his balance. His brains were so out of line. And here he is, a pastor helping us. We recognize that our problems and difficulties in life, and some of those we bring on ourselves, but that things have been teachers and we start becoming illuminated. This is why we need to return. Stay with me. This is hard to explain in a sense, but I think you're getting it. In these last days, there's going to be some things happen in our lives that don't add up, that don't make sense. But when you spend time with God, he'll illuminate and you'll begin seeing it and you'll think, oh, yeah, that was a teacher for me. Oh, I get why that happened. Oh my, that sure deepened me over here. Oh, that was a tough bread of affliction and water of adversity. But oh, okay, I see. It's happened to me hundreds of times, I can say that. It's in your time with God that you figure it out. You'll get lost in the why forest in this confused mess. You'll chase your tail the rest of your life. Having our baby this week. You'll get lost, but it's in time with God that the lights start coming on and you're like, oh, I get it. Now I got one more thing to say and then I'm going to close. Don't miss this though. Whether you turn, this is the next thing it says. This is so cool. I love this chapter. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you. Now, boy, I could go all kinds of directions on this because I've thought on this for hours. But I'm going to try to stay on track here. Okay, so what's going to happen? You want to be in the remnant. You don't want to get caught in all the chaos. So return to God regularly. Discipline. Seek the pearl of great price. Put him first. Take your time with him because he longs to be gracious to you. And in that time, he'll illuminate you and you'll start seeing things. Things that were questions that were unanswered in these hard times prior to the coming of the Lord. Things that happen don't make sense. Others are looking on saying, what's this about? Oh, you understand it. He'll illuminate you. And then he says, here's the last part. This is the last part you've been waiting on. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And what I like about that is when everybody else is confused, they haven't got a clue what's going on, you know where you're going. You know where you're going. But you've got to accept the adversity, and you've got to accept the affliction and recognize and not get angry. And you've got to go into the hard times and realize that God's still with you, and he'll illuminate and he'll give you the whys, and it'll begin to make sense. As I get older, some of the deepest whys have come clear. I've had some whys I've even shared with you in the past that I said, I don't know why that happened, but now I do. I'm 10 years older in the Lord, 15 years older in the Lord than when I made that statement, because he'll begin illuminating you. But then there'll be a voice behind you, and this would be a good one for the mentors group sometime. I got a whole line of thinking on this thing. I won't go there. You'll be here all day. But why it says behind you? Why didn't it say in front of you? The shepherd leading us. It says there'll be a voice behind you. Let me just give you a hint on what I want to say on that. You'll develop a new level of confidence that you can go ahead and God's still with you instead of having to wait, and never make up your mind. You step out and he behind you says, there's the way walking. You become spirit-led enough, you're not constantly scared to death you're going to make a mistake. I understand that. I'm growing in the Lord, I understand that. Instead of every 5 minutes being an indecision, oh, what am I going to do? You'll hear a voice behind you. You go ahead and step, and God behind you says, yep, that's it. That's it. That's it. And instead of God being this to you, come on, come on, which he does when we're new, which he does when we're baby Christians. But as we grow in him and gain our confidence, he wants us to step out. See, there's two theologies. Some say you just wait, and God shows you, and some are stuck in that. Then there's others that say, no, you go ahead, and God blesses what you do. The truth is, it's a combination of the two. It has to do with your maturity level. When you're young in the Lord, he says, come on, come on. And you follow it. But there's a voice behind you as you mature in him. You go ahead and take your steps because you're strong in faith. You're not afraid to go ahead and step out because you know God can work everything for good. And you just go ahead and he says, that's it. That's it. I'm behind you. Sorry, I get so worked up. I love his stuff. It works. It works. It absolutely works. So I need to wind up here. What are you going to get out of this deal? This is a win-win situation, Mike. What are you going to get out of this deal? What, you're going to get quiet time with God and a settling of your spirit. You're going to have your questions illuminated and things are going to become to clear up to you that have been confusing to you. You're going to have a sense of direction and you're going to have the stamp of the Holy Spirit say, that's the way, go ahead. You're going to have the stamp of him behind you. You're going to have direction in your life. But where does that start? Returning and rest, you will be saved. You got to figure out a way to do it. We do what we want to do. I know schedules are hectic. I know American life is a rat race. I know those things. But it's everywhere in Scripture. Put God first. Figure out a way. If it means downsizing, then downsizing. I've been also chewing on the verse, banish anxiety from your heart. I preached on that a few months ago. Probably I'll preach on it again. Banish anxiety from your heart and throw off the troubles of your body. I've been saying, Lord, what's the troubles of my body? What's the physical stuff that's giving me trouble? Help me get rid of it. You don't need to have everything under the sun. You've got to take care of it. Pay insurance on all of it, for heaven's sake. You know, the more you have, the more there is to fuss with. The more you have, the more maintenance there is. I don't know what you need to do, but I know in my life, I've been saying, Lord, it says throw off the troubles of your body. And it says in Hebrews 12 to do away with the weights that weight you down. Some things aren't sin, but they're weight. Does that make sense? There's nothing sinful about having it or doing it. It's just, it's extra weight. And in the race, you need to be free to run the race. Lord, what do I need to do to downsize? We're entering into a time, I want to be a remnant. I want to be part of the remnant. We're entering into a time where I want to be connected with you, Lord. How do I do this? And God will help you to formulate time with him despite. And I say that with sensitivity, especially those with you in the family raising years. But I want to say to you, you can do that because we did. We did. During the family raising years, we're going 90 directions. Every one of the kids are on a different ball team. I remember one year, every boy was on a different basketball team. And Pam and I never went together to a game because we wanted to support our kids. But then there was other things that year we eliminated because you can't do everything. And I don't know in a practical way. You can figure that out. I don't have no desire to micromanage anybody. What I want to call you to do, though, is the bigger issue. Return to him for the rest that he can bring. And it's then, and I'm closing, it's then that you become illuminated. It's then that you hear the voice saying, That's the way. Walk in it. Oh, okay. Everybody else is mixed up. I'm okay. I know my course. I know where me and my family are going. I know what direction our marriage is going. I know what principles are right and wrong. I feel good about this thing. I feel solid in the midst of a bunch of mush. I feel on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's found in returning and rest. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you for your kind attention. And enduring my intensity. This stuff will make the difference, and that's why it's so important to me, and I think you know that. This stuff will make the difference. The people that hear the sound, and I don't know what the shout of the archangel is going to be. I think he's going to shout your name. That's what I think. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I think he's going to shout your name, and you're going to know it was you. You say, well, there's 100 Toms. Yeah, we'll all hear it. We'll know it was us. I believe he's going to shout your name. But the reason I'm so intense about this morning is what I'm talking about this morning will make the difference. It will make the difference of being ready, returning to him. I got to have my intimate time. I got to have it with the Lord. I got to have it. And boy, a lot more can be said about that. In the intimate time, conception takes place. God will birth some things in you that will shock the wits out of you. And you'll carry that burden, and it may be a little painful, and then you'll have that baby, and then you'll have a bouncing brown-eyed baby boy. Had four of them. One was blue. And God will do marvelous things, and you'll see new things. Behold, I do a new thing. It's tied to your intimacy and quiet time with God. Ooh, I got two more minutes to you while you stand. All right. Thank you, Lord, for these powerful truths. And I want to do better on this next year myself. As the church grows, there's more responsibility. There's more that can be done. There's more running we can do. I want to do better at this than ever before. Lord, may I live up. I say this with tears, Lord. May I live up to what my grandson said. And I was so convicted, felt complimented and encouraged, but yet I was convicted in a way, knowing that, oh, Lord, don't let me fail in that area. When he said, Grandpa is God's friend. Lord, we want to know you. We want the closeness that comes and the illumination and the direction. And hearing that voice, this is the way, walk ye in it. Be with us as we go from this place. Thank you for visiting us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.